recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
And a good Monday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, that's me, holding down things here on the south side of town in Rutherford County. Willie Donick over on the east side in East Nashville. Chase McCabe on the west side there in Bellevue. Elijah Campbell back at 1824 Murfreesboro Pike. That is our wholesale link game studios powered by RumbleOn.com. Gentlemen, how was your weekend?
Everything good on the east side. Lots of good weather, so we took full advantage of that.
Yep.
Got outside, got moving a little bit. That was great.
Very exciting. Lots going on this weekend. So much to do. But it was good.
I sense a little bit, a tad of sarcasm there from Chase.
I will say this. The weather was awesome, and I spent a lot of time outside. So that was good.
What?
Just hanging out, just enjoying it. I sat on my porch, or I walked around the yard with the dog, played with Sawyer, gave Sawyer a bath, which resulted in me getting a bath, but it was good.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like the type that would go very calm and collected. He seems like he's going to be a little bit of a struggle.
He doesn't like the water hose. He doesn't like that. So,
A problem.
Yeah, so... You know, it made it interesting, but we got it done, and now he's shedding everywhere because his winter coat's coming off, so it's good.
All right. Very cool. We have got a loaded show today. We're excited to get the week started, and we'll have Casey Alexander coming up in about 15 minutes, so we'll talk to Belmont's basketball coach. We should be sitting here, guys, talking about who has punched their ticket into the Final Four, and... As I told Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad about an hour ago on Morning Drive, it just stinks because we'll never know, and this just seemed like the year, right? We talked about it all college basketball season. It seemed like the year where there could be an upset or two. I mean, I don't even want to say just an upset, just one Cinderella story. I mean, the way this season has played out, who knows? I mean, the Dayton Flyers could have been in there. You know, San Diego State could have been in there. Who knows? I mean, I said ETSU, man. That ETSU team, Willie, you were out of town. Jason, we had Steve Forbes on. Telling you, that team was good. I was going to pick them to pull off a couple of upsets. I'm just telling you right now. And they, who knows? They're a team that maybe could have gotten red hot and made a magical run. Maybe it was Casey Alexander and Belmont after, finally getting that win last year. Maybe it would have changed this year. We'll never know. Like I said, it stinks. But today we should be sitting here talking about the Final Four just down the road in Atlanta. And, wow, can you believe this team or these teams are in the Final Four? And we'll never know.
I think that's what's so hard about it is because this was the year. And, look, we've had other years where there have been upsets and there have been Cinderellas and things like that. But I think that we all felt like there wasn't really a team that was going to run away with things. So this was going to be an exciting tournament. And, unfortunately, we're never going to know. I mean, we can all sit here and speculate and talk about it. And that's all we can do right now. But I think that's what's, stinks about it, because you had those teams, and not just in the field overall, but from this area, ETSU, like you mentioned, or Belmont, that looked poised to be able to do something special. So that kind of stinks, but we can always dream.
I had more than one person, guys, tell me about that ETSU team throughout the season. So that's what is probably the biggest bummer from that standpoint is, you know, you have a season. I've been thinking about it a lot. We've had all kinds of time, of course, to reflect on these things. Past teams that we found special, you know, that put it together for one great year, just that particular group of guys. Almost every team these days, especially, is a little bit teams that bring back the same starting five or whatnot. There's always something a little bit different about each team. And so that's the disappointment of not being able to fulfill and, you know, see what would have happened. But, you know, this is life, right? It puts it in perspective, and you have to move on. You have to move forward. And, of course, there's all kinds of discussions on the spring sports and how that's going to shake out with the ability maybe for some of the players to come back next year to their respective schools. But, you know, for the players in the winter sports like basketball, and it's been talked about a lot in the hockey circles for college hockey, the same thing happened with all those sports as well. You know, couldn't finish it up.
Yep. So we will never know. 11 o'clock, we'll talk to Teron Davenport. We'll talk with TD and find out what he thinks of the Titans' moves, what could be next as tomorrow is Wednesday. I guess we will start a new month, and it will be the month that the NFL draft will hold their draft. And, yes, it is going to go as planned. So we will be just over three and a half weeks away from the NFL draft as we sit here today. So we'll talk with Teron about that. We'll head east like we do every Monday at noon. We'll talk with Vince Ferrara in Knoxville. Also, in the third hour after him, a lot of you may have seen this. How would you build your Nashville sports bucket list with a $16 salary cap in three categories? We'll answer that later in the show and find out who said what. There's been a lot of interesting answers floated out there, and we'll see how everybody would build their sports bucket list. We'll give you the categories and tell you how that would all go down. Plus, we're going to unveil our bracket. We've been talking about it last week. Nashville's sports bracket, the best Nashville athletes of the last 30 years, and we've got our field of 64 primed and ready to go, and we will unveil that at 1 o'clock today and let the voting begin, I think, first thing tomorrow morning, and we'll see who comes out of this, man. It is a star-studded field of athletes that have played in our city, and we're looking forward to unveiling that at 1 o'clock and see where it goes.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. We've all, you know, we've kind of given our thoughts on it, and Ryan Porth has really put all this together, but it should be a lot of fun. Should be a lot of fun to unveil it and do, you know, give us something to talk about and, you know, something to vote on. So I'm looking forward to it.
I was looking at
we should be in the field, all of that stuff.
Say that again.
Well, we all had our say with Ryan, right? Ryan had to take the heat. I know I was grilling him for some guys representing some 90s and people like that. But he had to make the final field, so we go from there, and I hope a lot of people vote.
Well, we've both been a part of many, many years of sitting in committee rooms for the back-then Dinner of Champions, the Nashville Sports Council, and we would have some pretty heated and spirited debates over these topics, stuff just like this, people making their cases. I know I certainly have over the years, and you know, it's all subjective, right? It's if you ask enough people, you're going to get enough different answers, and so that's the beauty of it. And you just have to try to see if you can get together on the same page. You listen to everybody, and then but eventually somebody has to make the final decision of who's going to, you know, represent that category or who are the top 10 in a category. I remember years where we'd have the top 10. I mean, I feel like it was a struggle just to whittle it down to 15. And then, you know, to get it down to 10, I mean, it would just be gloves were off. And at times, I know one time in particular, they were like, we have to come up with it. We'll be here all night if we don't, you know, we're going to have to make a decision. So it's not easy. And this was no different. You were thinking, gosh, 64 names. It's in the last 30 years. And you're thinking, 64 names, how hard could that be? Well, once you start writing down names of athletes tied to this city and played here. 64 goes pretty fast. And then the next thing you know, you look down and you've got 82, and you realize you got some, you know, some whittling, some trimming to do. And that was the case for Ryan after talking to all of us.
Yeah,
and it definitely reminded me of those committees that we were on, guys, the Dinner of Champions once. Just very much like that, just debating this guy or that guy. It makes it tougher because we were talking about the last year for those committees. This was the last 30 years.
Yeah.
So somebody that played in, let's say, the 90s, we're comparing that to somebody, or let's just take somebody who played college sports in the 1990s, and you're comparing that to somebody who played for the Titans, for example, or against the Predators in the 2000s. So very, very difficult thing to seed and to bracket, but we're going to let our listeners decide who wins.
Indeed we will. Tiger Shark is in the book. Tiger Shark. Tiger Keen is in the books. I've completed it. Willie, I know you've completed it.
I'm working on it.
And
I have started the process, and I am like, am I really doing this?
Well, what does that mean, you've started the process?
I mean, I've been watching it. I just haven't finished it yet.
Well, how many episodes are you through?
Three.
So you're through three?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're already in the craziness.
Oh, yeah. I'm in the, like, this guy's nuts, but it's entertaining. But I spent a lot of time outside this weekend, so I was trying not to be around a TV as much, but I did watch it, so. I'm getting there. I have a feeling by tonight or tomorrow I'll have it finished.
Willie, I had to admit over an hour ago that I had never even heard of any of this stuff. Like, that's the sports bubble that I'm in. I had never heard of anything until I watched this. I had never heard of Tiger Sanctuaries. I'd never heard of Carole Baskin. I'd never heard of Joe Exotic. That was never on my radar. Any of this stuff that played out in this documentary, I had never heard. I was unaware of everything, which is maybe a good thing, or maybe it's sad that I had no clue. But I'm through it. I'm moving on to something else.
Well, I don't think it's anything exclusive to the sports bubble, right? It's not just because we were in a sports bubble. I mean, I don't know anybody that knew about these guys.
Well, I mean, but this was this was big news. I mean, it was out there. I don't think it was just a local story, right? It's a national story, and yet I had no clue.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Well, I guess it was a national story. I'd never heard of it.
Well, there's some things I can't comment, but, I mean, he did things on a national level that would get national news that Chase
yes,
hasn't
he
gotten
did.
To yet.
Well, at so least that, on a local or a statewide level, that's the thing that's crazy to me. That might have been the most bizarre thing that I learned. Is, and I won't give it away, but, you know, what he did statewide, let's just, you know what I'm talking about, Darren, when he did something statewide
mm-hmm.
and threw his hat into the ring and how mm-hmm. well he did based mm-hmm. on how crazy he was.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
Can I believe it? If you had asked me 10 years ago, no. Can I believe it today? Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know why I would say 10 years ago.
Yeah,
I mean, we've seen
right.
Arnold Schwarzenegger be a governor. We saw
5 years ago.
We saw a wrestler be a governor. I mean, it's not like
Jesse
we haven't
Ventura.
Seen. We've seen famous people, win elections, and I'm not sure it was exactly because of what they brought to the table with how they felt about certain things.
Yeah,
I don't really think it was about their plan.
Yeah,
right?
Charisma goes a long way.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen this before, so I guess we shouldn't be that surprised.
No, I'm never surprised with what.
Yeah, but this guy's a little different.
This is a little bit different, yes.
Joe Exotic is a little different than Arnold Schwarzenegger and even Jesse Ventura.
Yeah,
I mean.
Fair. That's
just
fair.
Just my opinion.
No, I think that's a more than fair statement. Yes, I would agree with that wholeheartedly. Yeah, there is a little bit of a difference, or a lot of a difference. We will come back. We will head over to the campus of Belmont and, probably to Casey's house. We'll find out what's the latest with Belmont's basketball coach, Casey Alexander. We do that next on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Yep, they would have been playing all weekend long, and we would have known today sitting here who had punched their ticket into the game down in Atlanta. their new stadium down there. That's where the Final Four would have been. And we're not having that discussion. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. And now we say hello and good morning to Belmont basketball coach Casey Alexander. He's on the line with us. Casey, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you guys?
Well, doing fantastic. I just thought I'd missed something last night. I'm flipping through the local channels, and I just happened to stumble across News Channel 5 and realized that you had upset Villanova in the tournament. So I guess let's just start off with a hearty congrats, a 14 beat into three. I somehow missed that one, but what was that like to go through it? I mean, that was must have been a heck of a win for the program.
I have to tell you what, awesome win for our team. You know, I mean, it doesn't, like I said last night, it doesn't matter, you know, how you get them. If people are talking about you winning games this time of year, you take it, right?
No doubt about it. In all seriousness, how tough was it? You know, here you are taking things over for Rick Byrd. You're back where it all started for you, and you guys, you know, win the OVC for the first time since 2015. Everybody's pumped. You're going to have a selection show. And you're not worried about whether you're going to get picked or not. You know you're in. It was just going to be a matter of where, who you're playing, and what seed are you. And, you know, obviously none of that happened.
Yeah, it was really difficult, you know, but it was also understandable. You know, we had just come back a couple of days prior to the announcement, and we're practicing. But, you know, every day the picture was a little bit more bleak. And so we could see it coming, but the finality of it all was still really difficult. You know, we have a meeting. We practice on Thursday, and that's later that day is when they announce the cancellation of the tournament. So we meet on Friday as a team, Friday morning, and then they're gone, and we probably won't see them till June. So that was really the toughest part for our staff and just our group is disassembling, you know, for a long time when just the day prior we were practicing.
Yeah. How did they take it, Casey? I mean, I'm sure everybody was down, but how did you try to – you know, talk to your team knowing that this wasn't going to happen, this was it, and like you said, they were going away.
Well, we're not going to erase the disappointment. You know, there's nothing that we can do or say that, you know, that makes them feel good about, you know, how it all finished. But at the same time, we tried really hard to focus on the positives and the things that we could control, and, you know, we had a lot of great moments throughout the season, and that's the beauty of being part of a team, any sport, any year, is just the time together and what you learn about each other and what you accomplish. And we had a lot of really good moments that we could celebrate.
What did you learn about this team? What did you love about this team?
The way that we just stayed together. Our situation was never dire. We were never in trouble. But it took us a while to really hit our groove. You know, we lost some close games early in the season that were disappointing. One of those being at St. Louis, where we had a couple of chances in the last minute to win the game. You know, and it felt like it was devastating at the time. And then you look up at the end of the year, and they're probably a top 50 team when it's all said and done. We lose a game at Eastern Washington right before Thanksgiving. You know, turns out they win their league, which is a league that's actually better than ours this year, and so that didn't turn out to look as bad. So we just had moments like that where doubt can creep in, but our guys really stayed with it, and you see the end result with 12 in a row to finish the season, a regular season and a tournament championship.
I know you were at Lipscomb, and you had a little run on your own at Lipscomb in the NIT that we certainly covered and talked to you about and your players, but you know, some of these kids were involved in finally winning that first NCAA tournament game last year and just kind of the carryover effect. I just wanted to know maybe two things. What did a run like for you with your head coaching experience now to have a run like that? What did that do for you moving forward? And what did it do for some of these kids that did get to experience that first ever win? How that carryover effect, because, you know, those are lasting effects. And so how would you answer that?
Yeah, they are lasting effects. And, you know, I think at our level, when you're typically talking about a one-bid league, you know, really what you're trying to do is just put yourself in position, you know, and try to knock that door down and give yourself a chance. And then you learn, whether it's from watching other people's success stories or, you know, in our NIT run at Lipscomb last year, Belmont's win over Temple in the first four. You know, if you put yourself there, then you have a chance. And that's, you know, that's probably what was most difficult about not getting to play in the tournament this year is just the unknown. You know, what would we have done It really is a situation in a lot of ways where you're playing with house money. And, you know, you go in there, and if you don't beat a three seed, you're not supposed to. And if you do, then you really can make some noise for that's good for everybody that loves Belmont.
We're talking to Casey Alexander, head coach of the Belmont Bruins. And, Coach, I want to ask you, you got certainly a lot of guys coming back next year, and you've got guys coming into your program. Basketball is a sport where if you want to go out by yourself, you've got a hoop and a ball, you can do some really good workouts. So how – and I remember those well, right? Sometimes it's hard to get yourself to do it, but if you do it right, it's really a great way to improve. So how have you tried to communicate with your players on how to stay active and keep developing at this time?
Well, it's been a challenge, I'll say that. And it does sound pretty simple in the way that you described it, but those were earlier, simpler times. You know, I'm not sure many of our guys understand what outdoor courts and backyard and driveways basketball is all about, but they're having to learn it quickly. And you know, we're trying to ease into it, honestly. I mean, we took a week off after the announcement, and that got us to last week, and last week was hey, just do what you can, and now this week we're a little bit more trying to get them a little bit more hands-on stuff that they can be doing. But it's different for everybody. You know, some guys don't have anywhere to go. Some guys have snuck into a gym. Some guys are using their, you know, their driveway goal. So it's just going to be a process for everybody.
Yeah, and I'm sure for you too, as we try to weed through all of this, and, you know, you got to have everything in priorities here. But I'm sure you're trying to map out for these next several weeks how you just keep connected with people that might be interested in your program down the road, and, you know, continuing to communicate with your players on all different levels. But what's that process like for you? How are you trying to adapt?
Yeah, well, you know, kind of servicing the relational pieces is about all we can do right now, you know, and that starts with our staff and our team and just staying connected that way. And whether that's FaceTime or, you know, we'll have Zoom meetings and, you know, whatever we can do just to stay in front of each other and communicate and really just, you know, try to keep it going to some degree. And then that also carries over to recruiting. And, you know, we've got a lot of different pieces that we can touch on. And the coaches can always stay busy. There's plenty to do. It's just, you know, a totally different format for which we have to do it.
I don't know if you got a chance to catch any of these classic games that CBS has been showing. But it's certainly gotten me very nostalgic. Just yesterday they showed the Villanova-Georgetown game from 1985, just a tremendous game from start to finish. I'm sure you remember where you were when those games were being played, but it's so interesting just to get a coach's perspective from you how the game has changed. And, of course, this is the game that you played growing up, no three-point line, no shot clock, but, you know, it was just interesting how the teams went about it back then.
Yeah, and that has been for me as well, part of the joy of watching these games. I haven't sat and watched them in their entirety by any stretch, but I've seen bits and pieces of NBA finals and the games that you're talking about as well. And just, gosh, you see so many changes. I mean, the physicality of the game, you know, no ticker on the bottom of the screen, no score on the screen, the commentators that are a little bit more willing to just tell the truth as they go along, big long shorts, you name it, you know, I mean, just the ebbs and flows of it all. It's pretty fun to watch and brings back a lot of memories. I'll also say this, my brother was a freshman at the University of Kentucky that year of Georgetown and Villanova when it was played at Rupp Arena, so he made some pretty good money on his tickets that year.
I skipped high school to go to that practice, and I've never had a day that I regretted it because it was awesome. I whittled my way all the way down to probably the second row, Casey, and there was probably 19,000 people in there watching practice. It was so cool.
Man, that's really good work right there. I will say this too, Darren. I watched Game 7 2016 World
Thanks.
Series yesterday.
Yeah.
I did watch some of that for three or any. And so I can send that to you if you need it.
I've got it. Believe me, I don't need a copy. Thanks.
Oh, very well done. We're talking to Casey Alexander, the head coach at Belmont. And I did want to mention that Greg Sage sent me this the other day, but I saw it on Twitter, that $5,000 raised by Belmont for tornado relief. And that's what's been so difficult about all of this, is the tornadoes happened just a few weeks ago, and so many people were focused on that. And then the corona outbreak happened. But that's pretty cool that you guys were able to raise that kind of money.
Well, and I can't take any credit for that at all, you know, but I'm sure all of us felt some pride in watching Nashville rally around its own people. A real shame that, you know, that the coronavirus hit like it did, and it put such a devastating halt on the tornado cleanup efforts. But we'll all bounce back. We'll make it through this. It's kind of who we are. And so by the time our team got back from conference tournament, there really wasn't much else that we could do. We had some plans made ourselves, but then the corona hit, then we dispersed. And so I guess we'll all figure it out. I'm thankful for the people that are leading us through this time, though, I can tell you that.
Casey, as we sit here and we talk about what could have been, and, you know, with you guys in the tournament as a whole, and, you know, how the NCAA should handle eligibility and things like that. I know with the spring sports, it's a little bit different because they basically didn't get their season, where basketball pretty much did outside the tournament. What do you think the proper way is for the NCAA to handle just acknowledging the accomplishments of these teams that were unable to play in the tournament?
Gosh, there's so many answers to that question. I was listening to Dan Gavitt. I don't know what his official title is anymore, but he's a bigwig with the NCAA, and he was just talking about that thought process. And all of us would have loved to see a bracket, you know, but there are enough teams that would have been affected by somebody's guess that I'm not sure that was appropriate, you know, to put that bracket out had they done so. As far as eligibility is concerned, I don't see any way that the winter sports, basketball being one of them, where those players, seniors, were going to get a year back. I mean, a lot of them had even completed their season already. I do think it's entirely appropriate for the spring sports to get their year of eligibility back, and I'm pretty sure that's being voted on today with expected approval.
Do you think that this creates, you know, because obviously this is unprecedented and we've never seen anything like this before, but do you think that the NCAA is going to be able to have a better plan in place in case something like this were to occur again, you know, whether it's another outbreak or something different, but have more of a plan now that they've seen it before?
Golly, if anybody could have predicted this or planned for this, they're pretty smart cats.
Yeah, I know.
But I guess you got to live and learn, right? I mean, you know, you never say never anymore with just about anything. And so, you know, and they've got enough money and enough resources that they could certainly put their collective heads together and come up with a good alternative should we see something like this again. But just unfortunate times, you know, I think we'll all look back and we'll obviously all remember it, you know, but it'll just be a blip. It'll be a tough time for our country that will come through on the other side. And for all of us who love sports, we're learning why we love it. And but we'll also understand, you know, really in the big picture, you know, what a small role it plays. A fun and great role, but a small one.
Yeah. I also suspect once we get through all this that none of us will probably – it's prolonged our careers. Whatever our careers are, we're probably not in any rush to get to retirement. We've probably rethought retirement because if this is what it's like, wow, maybe I'll just keep working for a good while.
Yeah, I can assure you I will not be going into any home repair or landscaping or any of the other things I've done here. I mean, pressure washing, any of the things I've done here at home in the last week that I had no idea I could even do.
Here. I agree with you. I feel the same way. Casey, thanks for doing this. Good to hear your voice. Be safe, and we'll talk to you down the road.
You guys are great. Thanks.
All right, Casey Alexander, Belmont basketball coach. And what could have been, we'll never know, but who knows? Maybe the Belmont Bruins could have been that special team, that special run that we would have talked about forever in this market. But we wanted to check in with him on a day like today. We'll come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase on the other side, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, we'll talk to TD, Teron Davenport, NFL Nation reporter for ESPN and ESPN.com on the Tennessee Titans. We'll find out what he thinks about their moves and some other NFL stuff as we inch a little bit closer to their draft. And do the Titans have another move? Will there be another move before the draft on there? And so we'll get into all that with Teron coming up at 11 o'clock. There was a tweet out there about the NBA, and Brian Windhorst, who covers the league and has really covered LeBron since high school, but he does a good job of covering the league. And there's a perspective out there, a lot of things being floated out there, a lot of ideas of what's the best way to try to, you know, make this work. the rest of the way, if you even can. And I know, Willie, you were looking at it, and it's been, I guess, tried over in China already, but I'll kind of let you set it up.
Well, it was an interesting discussion. I saw Brian Windhorse on ESPN this morning. I think it was Get Up with Mike Greenberg, and they were going back and forth on this whole theory or idea that's been tossed out. What the idea is basically is if you can have your team, let's say you're the Cleveland Cavaliers, right, and you have all of your players, they've been cleared, they don't have the virus, etc. You take every team that has that group of players, and then you select a couple of arenas that you are going to play games in. And you put together a group of basically quarantined players that don't have the virus, not going to spread the virus, not going to be around anybody else. And then you could set up a schedule in one or two buildings, was tossed out there. And then you would play whatever schedule you're going to play, whether it's finish the regular season, which I think the NBA appears to be interested in doing, or just start right into some sort of postseason tournament. A lot of people are saying that that might be the quickest way, or maybe the only way you can do it without, with your sort of staying in bounds of not having anybody threatened to spread the virus anywhere else. So you'd have to be separated from your family. You'd have to stay in the same general area. I don't know if you'd have bunk beds or, campsites or something where everybody would stay. So it sounds crazy, but I guess they're doing this in China. LeBron James, I think, was one of the first to say, I don't like this idea. I don't want to be separated from my family during this time. But there's others that say, hey, if this is the only way to play some games, the masses are going to just love being able to sit back. If you have to continue to be in your home, at least you have some live games to watch. And I think some other sports have kicked this idea around as well. And so I wonder if it'll get any traction.
Well, I know LeBron James has been very adamant about not playing in front of the fans, and it's like, LeBron, we get it, man. Nobody wants to play in front of an empty arena. Of course. He's like, that's what, gets us going. That's what gives us the motivation. There's nothing like going on the road and shutting up the home fans, and if you're at home, they give you the energy. We get all that. Everybody understands that. But you have to understand that this is not normal. We get it. But if you want to try to, if there is any chance of them trying to complete their season, and he should have interest in that since the Lakers are going to be, I don't know, one of the favorites, if not the favorite, to win it. I mean, they're right in the thick of things. You got to come up with that. You can't just come out and say, yeah, I just don't want to play in front of an empty arena. Well, no duh. What other choices do you have? If you're going to have to make some concessions, right, somewhere. So what are you willing to do differently? It's not going to be, LeBron, it's not going to be normal. I know you live in your world, and your world is massive, and you've got, millions and millions of followers, and you have a high profile, but I kind of feel like he's in his own little LeBron world, and he's not really understanding what's going on. At least that's the vibe I get.
I don't know.
Well, I think there are some, Chase, this is another angle that some will take if they go down this road. And Brian Windhorse's quote is he believes the league is near 100% certain that they would be willing to resume without fans in some form or fashion. But I think there will be some in our society that would think it's a bad look to think that this is so important that we do this, have games at all costs.
Yeah, I agree with that, and that's where I was going to go. Like, I get it from – there are a lot of factors here. There's a business factor. The NBA is a business. All these teams are individual businesses, so I get that. There's sponsorships. But then, the players, they're competitive. I get the whole fan thing. I get that they also want to entertain and that, they might look at it as an opportunity to – give those of us that are all stuck, with nothing to do, something to watch. So that all factors in. But at the same time, I mean, we're being asked to stay in. Everybody is being asked to do their part. That includes athletes. And you can go through this whole process of quarantine and playing them in a bubble. But you still, I think, you're having a lot of people together – And so you're still losing some of that control. So I can understand how that comes off as a bit of a bad look. It's an interesting concept, but in the, you know, being realistic, can it actually work the way that they want it to?
Would you guys watch as often? I mean, just considering where we are, right? With if we're still in the same mode now for the next few months, possibly, and we know it's going to be through the end of the month, right? Based on what was said yesterday evening, I think from an official standpoint at the top, you know, President Trump saying this yesterday, would you guys watch even if there's no fans in the stands? Like I think in theory the local broadcasters or, you know, every game, you know, the local broadcast rights and the rights holders would have the ability to televise these games, and that's how you would recapture some of the, you know, the television revenue for the agreements. Even though obviously you're not going to get the gate from the fans, but it's the only thing that you could perhaps salvage. Would you guys watch?
I mean, would there be a sports fan in today's climate right now that would say no? I mean, yeah, we'd watch just about anything, right, at this point. I mean, I'm resulting
to
Tiger King.
I think that's a reality.
And I'm sitting here thinking of what's the next Netflix thing that I have to watch. I mean, Ozark came on. They were showing previews of that when I got done with Tiger King. And I've heard a lot of people talking about Ozark. And so I'm thinking, and I've floated that out there to a couple people that I know, and they're in season 3, which I guess just started or whatever, and they're like, thumbs up, big thumbs up. Yeah,
oh,
so,
I'm a big thumbs up for Ozark, by the way.
So you have been watching that.
I've watched the first two seasons, yeah.
Okay,
so that's
have.
The next thing I'm going to do. I'm going to dive right into season 3. I can't wait.
So that, I mean, that's where we are. And nothing against those shows, but I mean, that's not typically what
You're
I'm
a
doing.
Sports fan.
Right. I'm watching sports. That's my world. And every once in a while I veer off the path and I take in something, but it's rare. I mean, for the most part, I'm not watching any regular show. I'm not watching any of this stuff. I mean, Netflix, this stuff does make it a little bit easier because it's not a, you know, because you can just watch it anytime you want. So that helps, but you know, it's just my world is watching sports. And so, yeah, the answer is of course yes. I mean, would it be different and probably a little bit weird? Yes, but it's not going to stop sports fans from watching sports. But I just, you know, I don't even – how do you justify that? I mean, that's where I'm kind of like, how do you justify that? So these guys – oh, by the way, the NBA was, you know, the one that was hit the hardest of all the sports right now with players testing
right.
positive. So you're going to put them out on a court. Forget the fan element. You're going to put them out on a court and play – four quarters, banging and sweating.
Well,
and
you would have
you're
to
gonna
quarantine.
Do all that in a you're going to play a physical NBA basketball game?
Well, this is part of what you would do, though. This is what you would have to do. You would have to, for a couple of weeks in advance, quarantine everybody that's going to play to make sure they are symptom-free and stay symptom-free for the period of time that you can, or and maybe even by that time, the testing would be available to readily test everybody. Right, to make sure that nobody has it. And then those players would have to stay quarantined. So the first time I actually heard this was on the NHL radio. There was a columnist up in Canada who had talked to health officials, and they were theorizing that this would be the only way that you could play anytime soon, that you could theoretically do this well before we'll ever have the ability to open up an arena or open up a stadium to be able to play a sporting event and have crowds gather because of the fear of spreading. Obviously, you can't test everybody, you know, have everybody be free of the virus for sure, so you can't have crowds for a while. But you could, in theory, quarantine all of the players for a couple of weeks in advance and then perhaps start playing.
But then you'd have to stay quarantined.
That's a lot to ask, right?
You're asking them to just be
together.
Well,
that's why you would have to have these. That's what they're doing in China. They're having a couple of gathering places, I guess, where they set up camp, and they don't go anywhere. They're quarantined with each other and playing in a couple of arenas. And so I guess you could think about doing the same thing here, but this is where I think LeBron is coming from, partially at least, is this is a big sacrifice to ask everybody involved, which would be all the team officials, the players, I guess the announcers, in theory as well.
Here's the tricky
part. Be away from their families for the entire rest of the season, however long that's going to be, which would be a couple of months, right?
Once again, You have to make concessions. Do you want to play or do you not want to play? I mean, it's not normal times. We got it. But, no, nobody really wants to do that. Of course, no. But do you want to do this or do you not? But here's the other layer to this. That's a problem. This is why this thing is why we've been trying to tell you for weeks on end to take this seriously. You don't need the masses to infect a country or the world. You need like one person, right? It takes a small amount of people to mess it all up, and then it's like a wildfire, right? So, okay, you're just naming the players. So everybody they come in contact with, the pilot, if they do any flying, I don't know how this would work, but anybody, hotel staff, those people that are in that bubble with them would have to be in that bubble with them. You see what I mean? Like you can't.
Oh yeah.
It takes one person.
Logistics that you would have to do. Yeah,
right. That's what I'm saying. I don't know how you make this work. How do you make this work when you know it would just literally take one person to come in contact that's got it, that's carrying. And all this is for naught because it's going to go right through everybody. There's going to be positive test. I mean, that's the way it works. So how do you do that? The officials, everybody, the scorekeepers, everybody, the cameramen, they would have to all live in this bubble with them. You can't have them go off and do their normal thing and then come into these arenas.
You would almost have to use like team facilities as essentially like you just keep everybody there. You'd have to set up beds and things like that at the facilities because I don't think you can, to your point, Darren, you can't rely on hotels. Because, I mean, how are you going to do that?
Well, right, because you have to have a staff. I mean, you
would almost have to travel day of game, stay at your facilities, things like
that. Apparently in China, it's like a remote area, right? It's away from – you're not in the middle of a city. You're away from people. So I don't know how you would do that here. I guess you could go to South Dakota or North Dakota or something. Like, I don't know what lengths you would go to here.
Gives a new meaning to the NBA combine. I mean, you're essentially opening a combine where you're just sending everybody to hang out.
I just logistically, I think it's neat to talk about it. I like the fact that, you know, people are at least floating things out there. It's like at least you know that people are actually discussing anything and everything, but logistically, I just see no chance of this happening. I don't know how you could honestly make that work. There's so much, so many hoops you would have to jump through and so many things that would have to go perfectly for this to work. I just don't know how you could do it. I honestly don't know how you can do it. It's like I said, good for them for talking about anything and everything, and I get it. They're trying to come up with something so they can get back out there sooner rather than later, but I don't know how you pull this off because, like I said, it takes one person. That's it. And it doesn't even have to be somebody affiliated with the team. There's got to be other people involved to make this happen. And so you would have to have anybody and everybody associated with a game, a team. You would have to have them living in the same environment as the players and the coaches and the staff. And I just don't know how you pull that off. For an entire league to do that, I don't know how you could do that. To me, it seems like a stretch at best. I mean, it's a 1% to 2% chance of happening. 5% or less, how about that? That would be my number. 5% or less that you could actually pull that off and that would actually happen. That's just me. All right, we'll come back.
But do you okay.
We'll come back. We'll wrap it up with this. I'll let you guys get some final thoughts in to close out hour number one of Darren, Donick, and Chase. That's next. Talking about something Brian Windhorst floated out there on Get Up this morning about the NBA exploring all options to try and finish up this season. So I'll let you guys weigh in on what I threw out there at the end of last segment. So, Willie, you were about to jump in there. Finish your thought.
Well, Brian Windhorst has an article about this on ESPN. And, Darren, you laid out a lot of the logistical challenges that you would have if you even tried to go down this road. And they're actually trying to do it in China. I guess we referred to this in the last segment, but just to read a couple of specifics, what they tried to do. They've been shut down since January the 24th. As we know, the virus hit there before it hit here in the United States and North America. So they've been waiting and waiting and trying to get They were hoping to resume the first week of April. They've now moved it. They then moved it to April 15th, and now they've delayed to late April because of some of these things, maybe even early May because of some of these things you're saying. They would like to have a coronavirus-safe space that they're trying to pull. In fact, they told the players to come back, all the players that are foreign that play in the Chinese league. There are more than 12 Americans, according to Windhorse, including Jeremy Lin, that you might remember, and yeah. Lance Stevenson. Lin Sanity, remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So they have to go there and then be quarantined for 14 days to ensure that they're healthy. But, of course, everybody's watching to see how this works, if they can continue to progress, if they can even launch it. Because if they have a setback, and like you said, Darren, there's a lot of potential pitfalls here, then probably every other league around the world that would like to maybe do something like this, regardless of whether it's basketball or another sport, would say, oh, well, I don't know if we can pull this off.
Yeah, I love the concept. I love the idea that they're trying to figure out a way to, you know, get something back. You there, Willie?
Go ahead, Chase.
I'm here.
Yeah. I love the idea behind it. I just, to everything we were talking about, I don't see how you can logistically pull this off with all the travel or, you know, having the, even if you do have it all in one place, like if you're not moving everybody around and you essentially have everyone there, you're still going to have some possibility of exposure with the different officials and different people that you got to pull in. So, I don't know. I'd have to see it to believe it. That's my whole thing on it.
Let's go to Terrell. Is Terrell still on there?
Everybody would have to be. Every person would have to be quarantined, including the officials, the scorekeepers. Everybody would have to be in the same quarantine for the entire period.
That's a big, big production. Big production.
That's a lot.
Terrell wants to weigh in. What's up?
Hey, now me and my buddy were talking about this whole thing before they even came up with this. And we had this crazy idea if they had like 6 or 7 college campuses and host, and each dorm room had one team and one team in it. And so it would be sanitized and on like one bus travels to each stadium. So you have one stadium to be sanitized, one room to be sanitized, and everything would be easy to transferable without, you know, there'd be a quarantine. But yet, you were able to lower the cases of even trying to get in caught like that because you got one bus that travels, one place they're going to, and one arena they're playing. And with a sanitized team that sanitizes each time they go from when they leave the dorm, they're getting sanitized. When they leave the dang arena, the arena is sanitized for the night. And there's a dorm for the for the referees or scores or whatever, and then there's a cafeteria down there where they can eat. Kind of like what the NFL used to do for training camp.
So you're saying the whole league would play in one arena?
No. What I'm saying is different college campuses, because you know you only got about 4 or 5 or 6 maybe dorm rooms that can house them. And you got to be equal distance from each arena. And then they can only one bus to travel to that other arena. It'd be like rotating the team. So then, let's say MTSU I can't think off the top of my head, but we were thinking about it. They're like, you know, there's different states that have colleges that are within distance of each other. And
Terrence, you're hit. Excuse me. Yeah, you're hitting on some things that they're trying to discuss. Like you would have to have housing for everybody, and you'd have to have everybody quarantined in the housing. But they are talking. This is what they're talking about in China, and in theory, this is the NBA. What they're looking at is you would have basically the entire league in one or two spots, centralized spots, where everybody in the entire league involved in this would basically take over this complex, this bubble. So to speak, just so everybody's together, nobody leaves the bubble, and you would have to make sure that everybody in the bubble has been quarantined for 2 weeks and is virus free. That's
I mean, you
a
would
lot
need like an Olympic Village to house an entire league.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about. Just like that. It's just like the cafeteria down at the bottom. You know, when you're in the dorm, you go downstairs, eat, go back and play your game. The same thing like training camp for football.
Yeah, I think that's what they're getting at.
But where? I mean, that's the thing. Where? Who has a facility like that?
Where are you going to find that? I mean, like I said, it would have to be like an Olympic Village to pull something like that off. And I don't know. I mean, that it's interesting to talk about. It's interesting to think about. But man, there are so many things that you have to, you know, so many hoops that you have to jump through in the production to pull that off. I just, like I said, I'll just go back to what I said before. I don't know how in the world you could pull that off.
There's too much money involved. Most of those NBA players got their money, but the rest, they're not getting paid because they get paid per game. There's going to be a lot of them going to be agreeable to this because their finances sooner or later is going to run out.
Sure, no doubt.
The baseball players are starting to agree and playing in isolated neutral sites because they get paid by the game and none of them are getting their check.
Yeah, no, Terrell. Thanks for the phone call. Hey, look, it's
baseball
is
kicking that around. It's some spring training sites. Could you make a complex where you could have, you know, depending on the complex, right, a spring training sort of atmosphere where you could quarantine people and you could play the games in front of no fans, where you're very close proximity. You could have four fields going at once, but perhaps. I mean, I don't know. These are all theories being kicked around.
But by the way,
never been done before, right?
Here's something else we haven't talked about. Who's covering it? Is there going to be media allowed?
And oh, yeah. Well, that's the whole point, is you would put them on TV. That's the only reason that you would do it.
There's not
going to
be media. There's not going to be any press conferences.
Yeah.
There's no quotes. There's no locker rooms. There's no none of that.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point.
The games would be televised in theory, but, you know, I don't know if it's only the national rights holders or if the local rights holders would be able to televise their games, the regional networks, all of those things. I think that would be what you would try to do to recapture.
Right, but I'm asking
you know,
about
the lost revenue.
What about beat writers? There's beat writers
great,
that work for newspapers.
Question. Great question.
And
I
the
guess
athletic.
If they're willing to be quarantined and their outlet you know, gives them the green light, we want you to cover this, and they're willing to be in the bubble, right, and be away from their families and 2-week quarantine and all that. I guess in theory they could be in the bubble if there's room.
Well, wouldn't
how
you
big
need
is this bubble?
When you need the media to cover the sport,
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean,
I guess in theory you could cover it from your house, right? If you wanted to do it that way, but if you wanted to have access to the athletes, then in theory you would.
So when there's a controversial call, we're just supposed to they're going to cover it from the house. I mean, you know what I mean?
You could have a press. Well, that's easy. You just have a press conference on Zoom.
I guess you could. Yeah, the press conferences could be by Zoom. Sure. Yeah. Which I did last night for the first time.
We have
time.
A question from Cleveland.
Yeah.
We have Darren at his house in Antioch. He has a question for the referee.
Screen 14, guys. Screen 14. Screen 14, your question?
Darren and Smyrna has a question.
It's interesting to talk about. All right, good discussion. We'll come back. Teron Davenport to kick off the second hour. That's next.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.